It's 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. It was this past Tuesday, after many delays, that finally the National Minister of Basic Education, Angie Motshekga, addressed the nation regarding the plans to reopen schools. The 1st of June is the date when grade 7 and grade 12 learners will be expected to go back to school. The teachers and school heads and heads of departments will be going back this Monday to prepare, of course, for that return of learners on the 1st of June. If, as a parent, you choose to not send your child to school, you will have to ensure there's homeschooling, according to the minister.
Schools give them a structure. They wake up in the morning, wash, get taught for 2 or 3 hours, being fed, and go work home. Will give them lots of homework. That is what is good for children. But coming from UNESCO, and I'm glad that UNICEF is here. And I'll quote this because it's very important for me to really. And we say, why reopen schools? It's not myself saying that. It's UNESCO, it's UNICEF, and also the World Health Organizations. It says, and I quote, disruptions to instructional time in the classroom can have a severe impact on a child's ability to learn. The longer marginalized children are out of school, the less likely they are to return, and we have history around it. In 2010, when there was this long teacher strike, most of our learners, especially teenagers, didn't come back. So it says children from the poorest households are already almost 5 times more likely to be out of primary school than those from the richest. Right? They go to teams, they can have bacons and other things, but the ones that have to wake up in the morning and go and play, those are the ones that we're targeting. So if you can put your child on team school, there's homeschooling, the law allows it, we will then work with you how we examine them so that they go to the next class.
All right. As you heard at the tail end of that snippet from the address by the minister, homeschooling is allowed by legislation. And if you, for whatever reason, feel that it's not safe for your child to return to school, you will need to make sure that there is homeschooling. What does that involve? Well, Boa van der Eems is a chairperson of the Pestalozzi Trust, joins me on the line now. Good morning and welcome to the show. Good sir.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity.
Homeschooling is not as easy as we all think it is it?
Homeschooling is a journey. Homeschooling is totally different from formal schooling. It's a very diverse form of education. So it is not just doing what you do at school at home. When you're at home, you've got the freedom to do a much bigger diversity of things to ensure that your child is learning than at school. So, and that requires that parents have to make a paradigm shift, to think differently about learning and to explore many ways of learning. One-size-fits-all curriculum is not the only only way you can learn. There are many other ways you can learn, and parents have to explore that and find what is in the best interest of each individual child.
All right. Let's imagine that I'm a parent of a child and I've decided I am rather too concerned about COVID-19. Perhaps my child is got an immunity suppression for whatever reason, so it's not safe for them to go back to school, and I want to homeschool them. What process do I need to follow to ensure that?
Okay. We've, on the Pestalozzi Trust, we've got on the website a mini option that says 4 easy steps to start with homeschooling. The first thing is contact the Pestalozzi Trust, and we can advise you on the registration process on how that works. So homeschooling has been lawful since 1996. It's not something new, and you can apply to register in terms of that. But there's also an interesting caveat. So if you apply to home education, that registration process will be done in terms of the policy on home education. But in some extreme cases, you might not, yet your environment is not suitable for homeschooling. and you are not able to homeschool your child, then the department has to give you exemption from compulsory schooling while you're not homeschooling. But you, if you can homeschool, you can get register and then explore all the options that are in the best interest of your child. And that is a journey. That's not a thing that you just switch over from one day to another.
No, fair enough. And by the way, that website address, www.pestalozzi.org. That's PESTALOZZI.org. But I imagine that whether a child is homeschooled or taught in a traditional schooling environment, they will ultimately be taught the same curriculum, right? Because you need to be able to assess a grade 12 learner who's gone to a traditional high, or grade 7 learner who's gone to a traditional primary school against a grade 7 learner, if you like, who's been homeschooled.
No. As I said before, there's a diversity of curriculums and home education approaches that are totally different from each other that are available in homeschooling. So you do not need to do the same curriculum at home than you do at school. And then since the parent works intimately with the child, you know exactly where the child is, what the child can do, what the child cannot do. And there's no need for formal assessments. Formal assessments is when you've got a teacher that doesn't know where the children is to determine where they are. But you are right, when it comes to the end of your school career, then there needs to be an external formal assessment, which can either be the South African National Senior Certificate, or you can also choose alternative matric options like the Cambridge or the American GED. And then you'll obviously go for formal assessments by external parties.
And one can homeschool their child all the way up to matric, right?
Absolutely.
And what has been the take-up in South Africa, do you know? Do you know how many homes are opting for this avenue as opposed to enrolling their kids in a normal school?
There are no accurate statistics on this because most home educating parents are not registered, so we've got nothing accurate, but we've done some estimates, and our estimates, we did an estimate in 2017, and then we estimated about 100,000, and that's probably grown to about 150,000 by now, but that was at the beginning of the year. Yet since the lockdown started, it exploded, and I think what the numbers are now is anybody's guess.
How does the government then ensure that Afrika Malane, who is not sending his child to school, as is required by the Constitution, by the way, is in fact engaged in homeschooling with that learner if I have not registered with the relevant authorities that my child is being homeschooled in my environment?
So even if they are registered, they wouldn't know whether your child is being educated or not. They just haven't got the means to do that. And they don't even know whether the children at school are getting an education. So it's a very bit of a theoretical point. You got to trust that parents will do what's in the best interest of your children, and there will obviously be exceptional cases where parents not do what's not in the best interest of the children, and the children do not learn.
All right, Bo, we will have to leave it there. We're running out of time.